Group tonight. Okay, Fran's got a Havara group tonight meeting at what time? 6:30. So if you're down in that area, that would be great. Thank you very much. And all I can say is people are wandering about. For those of you that know me, I've shared this before, is that I don't do real well with transitions. So in my life. So yeah, especially with the kids moving on, it's not easy. Anyway. Okay, just a couple notes. During Oneg today, the Leases are going to share a little bit about taking people down to Georgia and to this healing ministry down there for those who need healing or other things like that. They'll share the story down there. So I want people to just note that that'll be during Oneg. Next week, I'm actually not going to be here because I've got to be at the Road to Jerusalem conference. But David Friedman will be here from Israel. He's a very interesting guy. He leads a small congregation in the territories right across from Ramallah. And so it's an amazing place. It's in a settlement area right in there. I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, he's very, very knowledgeable, and he'll be very interesting. And then during Oneg, he'll speak, but then during Oneg, he'll take questions, because I'm sure what he's going to say will be very interesting. He's an expert on Islam, so he's written some books about it as well. And he's I'm sure you're going to really enjoy that next week. And then, of course, the week after, we have our conference. All right. Today, quoting the Lord, I am zealous for Zion. I'm jealous for Zion. Actually, that's the correct passage. And the issue that I want to talk about today, which we all, of course, is in the news, is not whether Israel is justified in attacking Hamas and Hezbollah in various places here. I want to talk way beyond that. You know, it's interesting, despite the warnings to the Beirut residents to evacuate as they were getting ready to bomb, it shows the difference between them and the terrorist organizations who simply willy-nilly just attack civilians left and right, no matter where they are in the world. And the issue today is not just that Israel is the sole democracy in the Middle East and an ally of the United States. These are all facts, but that's not really what I'm going to talk about today. What I want to talk about is God's promises and God's name. Because the existence of Israel and the Jewish people has all to do with God's promises and God's name and his integrity. That's what's at stake here. A few years ago, Natan Sharansky, who was a former Soviet refusenik, and later and now became a member of the Knesset in Israel, he wrote a long article on anti-Semitism. It was fascinating. It explored all the history and the various reasons for why there's been anti-Semitism from the beginning of time till now. But I would say that there's only really one good reason why there's anti-Semitism in the world. And that is because there are evil spiritual forces that are seeking to destroy the Jewish people. That's the bottom line. It doesn't, because the differences, every group has a different reason. And so whether it's the Greeks or the Romans or historic Christianity or the Nazis and now the Muslim nations and even assimilation in the modern era, the issue is that the enemy is seeking to destroy the Jewish people. And the question is why? Why is that the case? And I think it's a fairly straightforward answer: to prove that God is a liar and that he is non-existent. The enemy wants to prove the atheists of the world that they are right, that there is no God, and if you destroy the Jews, that will prove that fact. Why do I say that? Because God made a promise to Abraham 3,500 plus years ago that his descendants would be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. God made a promise a few hundred years later to Moses that the Jewish people would be a kingdom of priests to all the nations, that the Lord would use them to bring his ways known to all the nations. And then the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, in commenting on the very same subjects, said that the gifts and callings of God to Israel remain irrevocable. So in other words, the New Testament doesn't change anything with respect to God's plan in using the Jewish people. If there were no Jews in the world, it would prove that God is a liar and that he can't be trusted by anyone. Why is that the case? Because he's made promises after promises after promises in the scriptures connecting his existence to the continuing existence of the Jewish people. And if they were wiped out, God's name would be undermined and destroyed. It's interesting, sadly, and we've shared about this before, that the world's biggest religion, Christianity, of course, historic Christianity, has persecuted the Jews relentlessly until very recently. And the irony of that all is that a world without Jews would destroy the meaning of Christianity. That's the irony. It would mean that God doesn't keep his promises. And so if he doesn't keep his promises to the Jews, then how could he say he keeps his promises to anybody? And so consequently, we would have nothing to abide in. I just want to say this, that the Lord is jealous for Zion. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8 and the prophets. And we want to break this passage down a little bit. Zechariah 8 is actually be on the screen here for those of you here. Now, Zechariah was a prophet during the 500s BCE, and he was a prophet during the rebuilding of the temple. As they were getting ready to build the second temple, he was part of that process. But I want to begin by reading the first two verses, and then we're going to go from there. It says this, Zechariah chapter 8. Again, the word of the Lord Almighty came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I am very jealous for Zion. I am burning with jealousy for her. What's interesting is what we're about to read is even though Zechariah was speaking to the people of his day, this passage relates to today. Its fulfillment is today, which I will prove to you in just a second. So we need to take note of that as I read through this. It's interesting. These promises here that God makes to Zion and to the Jewish people and to Israel in the year 2003, 3 years ago, I was on the Golan Heights in Israel and I was being briefed by a war hero, General Kahane. There was a group of us there, and he was the leader he was the commander of the tank forces in the Golan during the 1973 war. This is when Syria attacked Israel, unprovoked attack on Yom Kippur, and they attacked with 1,000 tanks. Israel on the northern border had under 100 tanks at that point. The Syrians had night vision equipment, and the Israelis did not. This is according to General Kahane. And so the Israeli tanks were being wiped out left and right because the Syrians attacked at night. Suddenly they stopped for unknown reason. And then they resumed in the next morning, and the resumption was Israel had 20 tanks left against this overwhelming force. And Kahane said that what he told his tank commanders to do was to position themselves behind these embankments and just keep firing. Just fire and fire and fire. And when the dust cleared in the late afternoon of that particular day, the Syrians were wiped out. The Israelis had 8 tanks left after that, up in the north. But the Syrians were wiped out, and they hightailed it back to Damascus. Kahane said that it was a miracle. He said it was God's intervention on behalf of his people as an absolute miracle. Because the Lord says, I am very jealous for Zion. Let's look in verses 3 and following of chapter 8, Zechariah 8, verses 3 and following. It says this, this is what the Lord says. I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the city of truth. And the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the holy mountain. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with cane in hand because of his age. The city streets will be filled with boys, and girls will be playing there. Jerusalem right now is growing like crazy, folks, for those of you that are not familiar with it. 100 years ago, Jerusalem was a backwater town. Mark Twain said this when he visited Jerusalem in the early 1900s. Jerusalem is mournful, dreary, and lifeless. He said there was about 14,000 residents there. Quoting him, he says, the people are full of rags, wretchedness, poverty, and dirt. And yet there are 700,000 people there in Jerusalem today. Why? It's because the Lord says, I am very jealous for Zion. Turn with me to Zechariah 8, verses 6 and following. It says this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. It may seem marvelous to the remnant of this people at that time, but will it seem marvelous to me, declares the Lord Almighty? This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will save my people from the countries of the east and the west. I will bring them back to live in Jerusalem. They will be my faith, be my people, and I will be faithful and righteous to them as their God. When this was written, the people were coming back in small numbers from one nation out of Persia. And today, Israel is the home of Jewish people from 140 nations who have all come here, all come there in the last generation. This is being fulfilled in the hour in which we live. Turn with me to verses 18 through 20. I thought I'm missing one passage I want to read here, but I guess it isn't. Yeah, 18 through 20. Again, the word of the Lord Almighty came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The fasts of the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months will become joyful and glad occasions and happy festivals for Judah. Therefore, love truth and peace. It's interesting that three of these fasts that are mentioned here have to do with the Babylonian invasion that occurred in 586 BCE. Had to do with the destruction of the temple. The fast of the 4th month here is known as the fast of Tammuz, the 17th day of Tammuz, which was this past Thursday. It was a fast day. It was a day to remember the breach of the walls of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. And it begins in a 3-week period of mourning in Jewish tradition from that fast to the fast at Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av, in the month, this year it'll be in August. It's a 3-week period of time to remember the destruction of the temple. And it's important for us during this 3 weeks in particular, because it's interesting that this war has suddenly broken out right during this particular time, that we pray and that we intercede with the Lord and we ask that God would have mercy upon his people during this particular crisis, during these fast days. This promise that we've just read about right here in this passage in Zechariah is similar to another passage in Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah 16, it talks about a latter-day exodus. And it says about that the latter-day exodus will be so great, the exodus out of the nations back to Israel, will be so great that it will dwarf the original exodus from Egypt. Originally, the exodus out of Egypt involved the people coming out of one nation back to the land of Israel. And the most optimistic projection as to how many people that came out of Egypt at that time were 2 million, which is probably far in excess of what it really was like. But today in Israel, as I've said before, there is representatives, Jews from 140 nations, 5.4 million Jews, 3.8 million of them have come as a result of Aliyah since 1948, the immigration process. Even to this very day, it's even said, just before the war broke out, that now large numbers of Jews this past month have been coming from France and America, from America for the first time in a significant number. You see, God is moving. Why is this the case? Because he says that I am very zealous, jealous for Zion. Turn with me to Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9. Amos wrote a little bit earlier than these other folks, than Zechariah did. Amos 9, verse 11. This is what it says. Amos 9, verse 11. In that day I will restore David's fallen tent. I will repair its broken places, restore its ruins, and build it as it used to be, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that bear my name, declares the Lord, who will do these things. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. Before we continue any further, I want to show you this. This is new wine from Israel, right here. Okay, fulfillment of this bottle is a fulfillment of this passage in Amos. New wine will drip from the hills. This is known as the Gideon, which is from the Beit Shemesh vineyards. I was in Beit Shemesh. That's where I stayed the last time I was in Israel in February. Cabernet Sauvignon. How about like that? This is a fulfillment of God's word. He says in verse 14, I will bring back my people Israel, my exiled people Israel. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make their gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted. Let's say that. Never again to be uprooted. Let's say it one more time. Never again to be uprooted. Do you realize that the Lord hears that when you say that? That's a prayer. That's a statement of faith. This is what is happening in Israel today, is that it's the goal of the enemy forces to rip the Jewish people out of the land once again, but the Lord says it's never going to happen again because he's given them the land, says the Lord your God. See, this is the beauty of it all. Why is this the case? Because the Lord says, I am jealous for Zion. It's interesting. I got a note here from Patrick. I don't know. Patrick was here earlier. I don't know if you're still here with the little boys. I got a note from Patrick the other day on the email because he was in an email kind of discussion group with a group of people who were wondering about Israel and the Jewish people. They said, how can the Jews be really the chosen people of God? Didn't God reject them when Jesus came and so forth? And then he goes on to say, you know, the country is secular. Israel is secular. Why would God be in this country? And so on and so forth. And he was wondering. So I emailed him back this response and turned with me to Ezekiel 36 because the Lord spells out exactly what's happening in these days. Ezekiel 36 and looking in verse 24. It says this, Ezekiel 36, 24. For I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove you from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land that I gave your forefathers and you will be my people and I will be your God. I just want you to notice the sequence of events. It says first in verse 24, I'll take you back to the land and then I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you. See, the Lord used largely atheists and socialist Jews out of Russia in the early 20th century to settle Israel as pioneers. And now it's today that Israelis are coming to know Yeshua as the Messiah. We just heard from Ron Cantor 2 weeks ago. He was just here the other night speaking to a group of us, sharing about how young Israelis are now coming to know Yeshua as the Messiah. The Lord is giving them a new heart, just like he said. Things are happening the way God said they're going to happen. Because as he said, I am jealous for Zion. That's the point of this all. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that happens when God is working is everything is going to go hunky-dory. No, quite the contrary. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12, which also talks about the days that we're in right now. And this is what the prophet says once again. Zechariah chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. This is the word of the Lord concerning Israel. The Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundation of the earth, and who forms the spirit of man within him declares, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Jerusalem will be besieged. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. On that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves. You see, despite the Lord bringing all of his people back, there's going to be tremendous conflict. Why is there conflict? It's because this has to do with the Lord's integrity. This has to do with the Lord's name. This has to do with the Lord's promises. If it doesn't happen the way God said it happens and will happen, then it means that God doesn't exist, that he's a liar, that we can't even trust him, that no one can trust him. And so the reality is it's going to happen this way. But the reason that there's so much conflict is that the enemy doesn't want this to happen, of course, because it attests to the reality of God. And so as a result, there's conflict. And what we see, it's to be expected. Why is that the case? Because there's a tremendous hatred of God's chosen people around the world. It's been unchanged. It's because the reason is that the evil forces seek to defame God's name. You know, it's interesting. We need to understand this, and I've said this before about the terrorism that the United States is facing. This is a religious war. The one that Israel's facing is a religious war. Now, Israel, most of the country is not religious, so they don't understand it as a religious war. They're just, for them, it's a war of survival. But for the people attacking them, it is a religious war. Because if you listen to the attackers, every single word they say, it's for because of Allah that we're going in and we're going to take this land. We're going to wipe out the heathens. We're going to wipe them out. And it is a religious war. And here's my statement to the Muslims of the world, and this is on television, I'm willing to say this. You say that your religion is not a violent religion. Well, step up to the plate. Let's come forward and say it's not violent and rebuke the people that are attacking Israel, the Hezbollah and Hamas. But what we hear is cheering in the streets of Beirut when the Hezbollah shoot and capture Israelis, cheering in Gaza, cheering in Muslim nations of the world. Is this a religion of peace? I don't know. I'm not going to make a judgment call, but all I'm saying is this, is that if you say it is, then prove it by your actions and stand up for peace and stand up for the truth of the Lord if you want to prove it. But I would say this, that this is a religious war because it's really proving who God is. And the God of Israel will prevail because he says, I am jealous for Zion. Turn with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. This is the last passage of scripture that we're going to look at. Luke chapter 21. Beginning in verse 24. This is at the conclusion of Yeshua's prophecy about the destruction of the second temple and the scattering of the Jewish people to the nations of the world. And this is at the conclusion of it. And this is what he says in verse 24. Luke 21, 24. Talking about the Jewish people, they will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. What's this say? What is Yeshua basically saying here? That a time is going to come when Jerusalem will once again be owned and controlled by the Jewish people. And of course we know that this happened in 1967, as we all know. This scripture was fulfilled. But let's look at the next couple of scriptures, because it's interesting how this continues in verses 25 and 26. Yeshua continues, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and the stars. And on the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Notice the next verse. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Interestingly, people will faint from terror. We didn't even know terrorism until just the last 15 years or so, or 20 years or so. In fact, terrorism wasn't even in our vocabulary until the fall of the Soviet Union. And now, guess what it is that we're fighting around the world, international war against terror and terrorism, just like the scripture says. Yeshua says, first Jerusalem comes back under the control of the Jewish nation, and then there will be terror in the world. But it's not over there. It's not finished that. This is not the end of the story. Verse 27. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. You see, what this is a sign of is the return of the Lord. Yeshua's stating, his statement here about his coming back is a fulfillment of the prophecies of Daniel and Zechariah, specifically. They are fulfillment of prophecies in Daniel and Zechariah when the Son of Man will come back on the clouds of the air and will come back. And guess what, folks? He isn't coming back to Richmond, Virginia. He's not coming back to New York. He's not coming back to Paris, God forbid. But he's coming back to Jerusalem. That's where the Lord's going to come back. Because the scripture says, I am jealous for Zion. That's why. And then I want us to read verse 28 together. Let's read this together. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. The road is going to be rocky, but the Lord will prevail. You see, the reality is that there's evil in the world. And guess what, folks? I hope new news to anybody, but democracy is not going to eliminate evil in the world. The only thing that eliminates evil in the world is repentance, teshuva, because it breaks the back of evil and then accepting God's provision for the sake of repentance, which is Yeshua the Messiah. Now I'm going to tell you four things that I believe that we need to be doing in conclusion during these battles. Number one, very simple. We need to do as Yeshua instructed. We need to do as Yeshua instructed, and that is to pray as he said to pray, which is that your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. And the reason that we pray this way is that we're praying God's rule would come back down upon on the earth. That God wants to establish his kingdom on the earth where there will be peace and justice. And so that's the reason we pray. So the first thing that we do is that we pray that God's will, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the first thing that we do. Number two is that we live for God now, putting him first in everything that we do. Yeshua said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added unto you. In other words, that we keep the mitzvot, and by keeping the mitzvot, the commandments, what we're doing is we're walking out God's life on this earth and bringing about his reality to the world around about us. Number three, it's to make him known through Yeshua the Messiah. We all know in Jewish tradition the concept of tikkun olam, which means to repair the world. And how is the world repaired? The world is repaired through Yeshua. He is the reparations for the world. He is the one that brings healing. And so we make him known to the world and bring healing to the world. And finally, we first, as the righteous remnant of the Jewish people, the Messianic Jewish community, are to call him back. See, the church has one responsibility. They call him back and they say, Maranatha, which means to call, come Lord Yeshua. But we, according to Yeshua, says this in the book of Matthew. He says that he will not come until his people, the Jewish people, say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And when we say that as a believing community, we are calling him back to rule and reign. And so in conclusion, I want us to sing that song together with the worship team. Baruch haba b'shem. Let's make it a prayer. We're calling the Lord back. We're calling his ways back onto this earth.
Now arise.
Father, we thank you for your word, O God. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would intervene in this battle, O Lord. And Father, just push back the enemies, O God. Turn this situation around for your glory, Lord. Father, help them to recognize, Lord, the God of Israel is the protector, O Lord. He who keeps Israel will never slumber nor sleep, as you promised in your word, Lord. And Father, you've instructed us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. And Lord, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the whole nation today, O God, in the name of Yeshua. Protect these people, Lord, Father, and raise up the witness of Yeshua in the land during this time of crisis, O Lord. Use our communities in the land to bring about encouragement and hope during a time of great distress, O Lord. And we honor you. We thank you that we can join forces with you for good and not evil in this world. And in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let me close with the Aaronic benediction, and we'll go from there. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'ir Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through the Prince of Peace, through Yeshua the Messiah. We all said, Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. If you need prayer, please feel free to come forward. The bookstore will be open, and we have Oneg downstairs, which is our lunch. Please join us for that.